Okay, go ahead.
This is our second month that we are doing our Rosh Chodesh programming, so I really appreciate everybody that came, and Emir Hashem will be able to continue monthly. It is a tremendous honor and privilege to have Mrs. Michal Horowitz come and speak to us tonight, give us a little bit of perspective before Pesach, and I hope you all enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, thank you, Robertson. Thank you for having me. I walked in, I said to Robertson, it's not Simchas Torah, and I'm here. So for those of you who learn with me here on Simchas Torah, and I remember specifically what we spoke about, for those who were here this past year, for us it was the second day Yom Tov. And I remember at the time we thought that the number of Kedoshim was 500 Yidden, if you remember. Time goes fast. So here we are. It's Arav Chag HaMatzos. Today was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We're coming straight out of Rosh Chodesh, and we learn together with Divrei Hesorus and Hishkafa and insights to prepare us for Chag HaPasach. You know, I was just interviewed on a podcast that's going to be coming out in a few days, and either this Friday or next, I'm not sure. So I was asked three questions. One of the questions, when it comes out, you could listen. One of the questions was, your favorite Pesach Dvar Torah. Do you know how hard that is for a Torah teacher? Like, how exactly am I supposed to choose my favorite Pesach Dvar Torah from all Pesach Dvar Torah? Okay, but Baruch Hashem, they're all my favorite, but I identified one that I wanted to give over. Do you do something special at the Seder to make it memorable? And then the third question was, how do you prepare for Pesach? So I said, you learn Torah. How else? Now, of course, yes, I'm cleaning and shopping and menus and rewriting the list and organizing and the same thing we're all doing. But if we take a Kosh Baruch Hu out of the equation, then we are not preparing properly for Pesach. If we are just involved in the material aspects of the Chag and we forget about why we are observing the Chag, what's the first of the Seres HaDibros? Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzei Tzicha Me'eretz Yitzrayim B'Beis Avadim. The first of the Seres HaDibros, which is the Emunah, the foundation of all of our faith. I am the Lord God. But it doesn't end with Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem, your God, because I took you out of the land of Egypt from the house of slavery. And if we take a Kosh Baruch Hu out of the equation, then we have missed the point of the Yom Tov. It's because Vehevesi Azchem, Hashem takes us to him as a nation. I actually saw something so interesting. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs, Zechron Levracha, on this week's Parsha, Parshas Tazria, quotes something interesting about the Mitzorah. The Mitzorah, no, Tumas Hayoladas. He quotes something very interesting about the woman who has just given birth. The beginning of the parsha, the first eight psukim, deal with a woman's tahara, or I shouldn't say tuma and tahara, what we call spiritual impurity and purity in the process of, in the aftermath of giving birth. And Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs quotes this far, why does she need to bring karbanos? In the aftermath of childbirth, when she finishes sitting in her demei tahara, blood of purity, 33 days for a male, 66 days for a female, she has to bring two karbanos. She has to bring a karban ova and a karban chata. So there's many questions as to why exactly she has to do this. What's sin? Why does she need to bring karbanos in the aftermath of childbirth? But he quotes this foreigner who says something very, very interesting. A woman during childbirth is very busy with the busy, preoccupied, totally involved with the physical aspects of what is happening to her body. After childbirth, when her body is no longer expectant and starts to go back to its normal processes, she needs both time and a korban to recalibrate and bring her back to Kosh Baruch Hu. When she is so involved in the physical aspects of the birthing process, she doesn't have time to really think much about her spirituality. But after she has finished the physical process of childbirth, she needs time, 33 days for a male, 66 days for a female, and a korban, root word karav, to bring her close again to Kosh Baruch Hu. And I thought that this was very interesting because it applies to all of us, whether we are in childbearing years or in the process of childbirth or not. Because what is the lesson to all of us? Sometimes we're so involved in the physical aspects and the physical components of life, we forget there is a Kosh Baruch Hu. Why are we cleaning the house? Why are we cleaning out the fridges? Why are we making lists and lists and lists and going to the grocery again and again and again? And then planning the menu and turning over and the cooking. What's it all for? Just to have a beautiful physical meal? Or is it just an end? Or is it a means unto an end? So the answer is quite obvious. It's the latter. Everything physical that we are doing is to elevate our physicality, to come closer to Kosh Baruch Hu. So I thought this idea of the Tumas HaYolades really relates to all of us in this Zman Chirusenu, in this time of our freedom, when we prepare for Chag HaPesach. Of course we have to do all the physical labor. We have to rid the house of the chametz. We have to buy the matzah. We have to make the menus, the item for Leah HaSeder, everything you need on the Seder plate. Yes, but when you're so busy being involved with the physicality, do not forget who, capital W, are doing this for, and why you are doing this. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Egypt. He made four Lashono Geula, four promises of redemption to redeem us. And that is why we are involved in this entire process of immense physical preparation. But don't forget that the physical preparation is a means unto an elevated spiritual living. It is not an end unto itself. Nothing physical we do in this world is an end unto itself. It is a means to an end. The physicality is a means to coming closer by dedicating it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's look at the Arba Lashono Geula. The Arba Lashono Geula feature very prominently on Leil HaSeder because, according to Chazal, one of the reasons why we drink the Arba Kosot on Leil HaSeder, the four cups of red wine, correspond to the four promises that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to Moshe that he will redeem Klal Yisrael. We know these as the Arba Lashono Geula, the four terms or the four languages of redemption. They appear, and is everyone with me? I'm talking fast. Are you okay?
Great.
Okay. You know? Not okay? Okay. The Arba Lashono Geula appear in the beginning of Parshas Ve'era. The story of Shibun Mitzrayim and Yitziat Mitzrayim occur over the first four parashiyot of Sefer Shmo. Shmo, Ve'era, Bo, and B'Shalach. Shibud, enslavement, miracles, makos, redemption, and B'Shalach is Shvi Yishar Pesach. The seventh day of Chag that we celebrate as Shvi Yishar Pesach is the day of Kriya Yamsuf and Shir Hayam, the day when the sea miraculously split, the Egyptians all drowned in the seashore, and the Bnei Yisrael saying, "A glorious Shirat Hashem." So this process that is in the Shir Hayam is in Perek Tezvav. So from Perek Aleph, Yaakov Vanov Yodu Mitzrayim, Bnei Yisrael Par V'Yishutu V'Yirbu V'Yasmu Be'Admar V'Timalei Aretz Osam V'Yakom Echad Hashem Mitzrayim Asher Lo Yada Es Yosef. A new king arose who didn't know Joseph. Let's be wise against him. From the beginning of Sefer Shemot through Shirat Hayam and Perek Tadvav, we learn all about the Shibud and then the Geula. Before the Geula began, when the Bnei Yisrael were still slaves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Moshe and he promises to redeem Klal Yisrael. So let us look at these four, and they are called the Arba Lashono Geula. They are very famous. We correspondingly drink four cups of wine on the Passover night. Red wine to remember, Kol Abena Yulad HaYar Tashlichu, the blood of the Jews that was spilled not only so many millennia ago in Egypt. We don't need to go so far. I'm sure you just saw Elad Katsir, his body was in a rescue operation. I should say a recovery, a retrieval operation Friday night. Using intelligence sources, the IDF buried in a shallow grave in the Khan Yunis area used by terrorists were able to retrieve the body of one of the hostages. And so he is coming home to Bizocha Lishtik for Yisraeli. And apparently he was killed by Hamas. He was kidnapped from kibbutz near Oz. His mother, Chana, was kidnapped along with him. He was 47 years old, which this made a huge impact on me because that's how old I am. So kibbutz near Oz released a statement after months of physical and psychological torture. He was kidnapped on October 7th. He was murdered in January by Hamas at the age of 47 years old. Shamin Komdamo, his father, was murdered, Avram, on October 7th. His mother, Chana, was taken hostage along with him. She was released in the first hostage deal back in November. We drink red wine to recall the blood, not only of Shibun Mitzrayim. There weren't enough bricks. They stuck a baby in the well. We don't only recall the blood of Shibun Mitzrayim. Are you thinking about Kfir Bibas and his brother Ariel and their mother Shir, redhead babies, and their mother Rachmana Litzlan, who are still not returned. So we drink red wine, four cups. And these four cups correspond to the four languages of Geula. So what are the four languages, the Arba Lashono Geula, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Moshe? So here we go. So Hashem says to Moshe, I'm starting Perek Vav Pasuk Hey. Let's just, and Sefer Shemot, let's just look at these Arba Lashona. So Hashem says, V'gam ani shamati et na'aka b'nei Yisrael asher Mitzrayim avidim osam. Hashem says, I have also heard the groans of the children of Israel, that the Egyptians are enslaving them. V'eskor es brisi, Hashem says, I remember my covenant. I made a covenant with Avram at the bris v'nabsarim, the covenant between the pieces, Bereishis Perek Tesvav. And I told Avram in that covenant, Yadoa teida ki ger yazarecha be'eretz lo lahem. No, you shall surely know. Your children will be straight strangers in a strange land. Va'avadu minu osam arba meoshana. They will be enslaved, they will be oppressed, they will be tortured. However, the gamas ha'goyah sher yavodu dana nochi, also the nation that enslaves them, I will judge, Hashem says to Avram, and after they will leave with great wealth. So both the Shibur Mitzrayim and the Geulat Mitzrayim were promised to Avram. So now Hashem remembers the Bris Ben Absharim. He remembers the covenant that he made with Abram. Therefore, Hashem says to Moshe, you as the Redeemer, as my Shaliach, should go say to the Bnei Yisrael, what is Hashem saying? I will take out the Bnei Yisrael from under the oppression of Egypt. I will save them from the slave labor. We put a zroa on the Seder plate. I will redeem them with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. That is referring to Matan Torah. I will take them to me as a nation. I will be to them a God. You know that I am the Lord your God who takes you out from under the oppression of Egypt. So these four languages of Geula correspond to the four cups of wine that we drink. And over every cup of wine that we drink, we are supposed to remember Hashem's great promise of redemption. Votseisi, God took us out of Egypt. Vitzalti, He saved us from Egypt. Vegaalti, He redeemed us from Egypt. Lakach, the Eschem Lila'am, He took us to Him as a nation. There's a very, very interesting Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Pei Chesim and Hei, Medrash Bereishis Rabbah 88:5, has a very, very interesting suggestion as to why we drink four cups of wine on Leil HaSeder. So this is the most commonly accepted, known view, and we're not negating it, I'm just adding something additional, as to why we drink four cups of wine on Leil HaSeder. Hashem promised Avram in the Bris Ben Absharim, the Shibud and the Geula, God remembers His covenant, Ve'ezkor Esprisi, I remember my covenant, Lachein Amor L'Vnei Yisrael, therefore say to the children of Israel, the time for the redemption has come, for the Shona Geula, and therefore we have four cups. We have Kiddush, we have Magid, we have Berkat HaMazon, we have Halal, we have four cups of wine on Leil HaSeder. Let's go back, this is really, really, really fascinating, to when the Shibud Mitzrayim began. If I ask you when the Shibud Mitzrayim began, what would you tell me? This isn't a trick question. I'm asking a serious question. When would you say, no one wants to be wrong, ain't a baishal no maid. So when would you say that the Shibud Mitzrayim began?
Shmot.
Wait, I don't hear. Raise your hand.
Shmot.
I'm coming to you because I don't hear.
Shmot, when there's a new paro. In Parshat Shmot, when there's a new paro.
A parshat, okay. Vayakam melachal shal Mitzrayim asher lo yadas Yosef. Okay, so I just gave you the answer, actually. What did I say at the end of the pasuk is?
Yosef.
Let's go back. Let me ask you again. When would you say the actual Shibud Mitzrayim really began? Let me change my words. When would you're correct. The Shibud Mitzrayim began with the new king. When would you say Yeridas Mitzrayim began? Now, it could be the beginning of Sefer Shemos. Eish Shemos B'nei Yisrael by Mitzrayim. Yaakov Yishu Beis Obo. And that Reuven Shimon Levi Yehuda, that's the beginning of Sefer Shemos. But is that actually Perak Aleph Pasuk Aleph? Is that where Yeridas Mitzrayim began? Where would you say Yeridas Mitzrayim began?
When Yosef was
in prison. When Yosef was?
Was sold to Mitzrayim.
Ah! Hinei Balach Halamos Halazaba. Luchu V'nahar Genu V'nashlich Al Achar. Here comes the dreamer. Let's throw him into one of the pits. Or say a wild animal eat him. He's pulled out of the pit. Who exactly sold him? A little ambiguous. We're not sure. Not me. I'm not sure. The Chumash is very ambiguous. It was the brothers. Was it the Midyanim? Was it the Sochim? L'maizu Yosef. Somebody pulls Yosef out of the pit. And he sold to Egypt. That's the beginning of Yeridas Mitzrayim. Now I'm going to ask you a very compelling question. Now, I think we could all agree. Do we all agree? At the beginning of, you're correct. The beginning of Shibud Mitzrayim was Vayakam Melechadosh HaMitzrayim Asholo Yadas Yosef. The beginning of Yeridas Mitzrayim is hundreds of years before Joseph is sold to Egypt. The caravan takes him over the horizon. All of a sudden, the brothers are so sorry. Only after Joseph is sold do all the brothers and daughters get up and they say, oh, Father, we want to comfort you. Father refuses to be comforted. I will go down to the grave mourning for my son. That's the beginning of Yerida Mitzrayim. When does the Geula actually begin? So this is a little bit of a tricky question. I don't mean to be tricky, but the Midrash teaches us something really fascinating that has a big Mishra Hassel and a big Chizuk for our time as well. So Joseph is sold to Egypt. Who buys him? Perek Lamitas. Ve'kuneo Potiphar, Sris Sartabachim, Sris Paro. Who buys him? According to Uncas, the chief executioner. Potiphar is the chief executioner for the whole land of Egypt. This, by the way, a big nace that Yosef wasn't killed. He was accused of trying to seduce the wife of the chief executioner. You know what his job was? To execute those who rebel against the state. But by some miracle, he's thrown in jail. Mamash a miracle. Instead of off with your head. Yosef finds himself in jail. 2 years before he gets out. So if he works in Potiphar's house, it's 13 years from the time he sold till the time he becomes viceroy. 2 extra years after he meets the Tsar Mashkim and the Tsar Ophim. So let's say after 11 years, okay, he's languishing down there in prison. He meets the Tsar Mashkim and the Tsar Ophim. And Yosef is a man of dreams. The brothers say, Baal HaChalomos Olazah, he is a Baal HaChalomos. He has dreams. Pharaoh has dreams. The Tsar Mashkim and the Tsar Ophim have dreams. Dreams feature very prominently in the life of Yosef HaTzadik. I didn't lose my train of thought. I know what we're talking about. Baruch Hashem. There's a reason I'm bringing this up. The question was, when did Shiva Mitzrayim begin? A new king arose. When did Yerida Mitzrayim begin? Well, Yahudah B'Lishalem. They can't even speak to him in peace. They hate him. So he devised a plan and he sailed to Egypt. When did Geula Mitzrayim begin? Did Itaka begin with the Gama Nishonat Shamatias Nakas Vene Soshay Mitzrayim Avidim Osam Lachena Marla Vene Yisrael? That's Chorus, we see. Lachena Marla Vene Yisrael Ani Hashem Votzesi Eschem Itachas Uvas Mitzrayim Vega'alti Eschem Bizrona Tu Vishvatim Gedolim. When did Geula Mitzrayim begin? Did it actually begin with the four promises of redemption for which we drink four kosot? So you're probably thinking no, because otherwise you wouldn't be asking me this question. So here we go. I'm going to take you, let's put that aside, and let's look at Perek Mem in Sefer Bereishis. Yosef is in jail. It's 11 years after he sold. 11 years. Something we cannot understand and cannot relate to. We could say the number, but we don't understand Baruch Hashem in any way, shape, or form what that means. You know, after a certain point, like a person, like a normal person would maybe despair of redemption. Okay, 6 months, 8 months, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 11 years, I'm still here. 11 years, no one's looking for me. There's no pigeon shui. My father didn't try and find out what happened to me. God forgot about me. God never speaks to Joseph. Fascinating Torah fact. I'm the only major am I in a biblical person I is a Kosh Baruch Hu does not speak to him. 11 years. Like at a certain point, you start to wonder, is the Geula ever going to come? After 2,000 years, we're also saying, Hashem, it's time. When is it time? So in prison, 2 years before he's redeemed and released from prison, he meets the Tsar Mashkim and the Tsar Ophim. You know, they're in really bad moods in the morning. Well, wouldn't you be in a bad mood? They're in jail. Look at Yosef's courage and heroism. And Yosef says to the chamberlains in Paro, Madu pneichem ra'im hayom. It's a gevalda kasha. Madu pneichem ra'im. We're in jail. Why are we in a bad mood? Have you not noticed where we are? Why are you in a good mood? What do you mean, why is my face bad today? Why is your face happy today? How could you be cheerful? Have you not noticed your life situation? So they say, oh, you know, we dream dreams. We have no one to interpret the dreams. Yosef says, how convenient. Halol Elokim Pitronim, which is exactly what he says to Paro also. God is really the interpreter of dreams, but I'm a shaliach, tell me your dreams. Vayisaper Sar Mashkim is Chalamola Yosef. This is 11 years after Joseph has been sold. 2 years before he personally gets out of jail, hundreds of years before Klal Yisrael is redeemed from Egypt. The butler tells his dream to Joseph. He says, you know, there was a vineyard in my dream before me. And in the vineyard there were 3 tendrils. It doesn't say that here. It's spring, Chag Haviv. We make the brachas ha'ilanos, and these tendrils are blossoming, and they are sprouting grapes. The kos paro biyadi, the hand, the cup of fear is in my hand, and I take these grapes and I squeeze them el kos paro. The 18 is a kos al kaf paro. So he says, I have these tendrils of grapes, and they're blossoming fruit, and the cup of Pharaoh is in my hand, and I take the grapes and I squeeze them into the cup of Pharaoh, and I give the cup to the palm of Pharaoh. Yosef says, this is the interpretation. These three tendrils are 3 days. And another 3 days, Paro will restore. He will lift up your head. You're going to get your jaw back. Restore it to your post. V'nasata kos paro biyado. K'mishpat harishon asher yisam mishkeh. Don't worry. You're going to get your jaw back. In 3 days, Pharaoh is going to take you out of here. You're going to be the Sar Mashkim once again. Along comes the baker. He sees the dream was correct. How does the baker know? Because each one dreamed their own dream plus interpretation of the other. So the Sar Ofim knows that Yosef did the correct job. So he says, now it's my turn. Listen to the Lashon of the Psukim. I'm going to make it very obvious for you. Let's do this together. Listen, this is not Michartz. This is Medrash Bereishis Rabba Pechas Hei. So he sees these tendrils and they're blossoming grapes and the fruit is sprouting. Pay attention. Listen. Vikos paro biyadi. The ekoch es ha'andavim, the eschados el kos paro, the 18 es ha'kos al kaf paro. And Yosef says this is the interpretation, ba'od shloshes yamim, yisa paro so shacha, ve'yishiv chalkanecha, ve'nasata kos paro biyada kamish barishon.
How many times does he use the word kos in this passage? I mean, if you're following my fingers, it's very easy.
There are literally arba kosos in the dream of the Sar Mashkim and the exchange with paro. And the Medrash says that these arba kosos are why we drink arba kosos on Leil HaSeder. This is incredible. This is way before the Gula began. This is 2 years even before Yosef's personal redemption. But because of the Sar Mashkim, who's obviously a Shaliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everyone's a Shaliach of Hashem, but because of the Sar Mashkim, who 2 years later remembers, Oy, as Chatosai Nimas Kir Yom, chapter 41, Perek Mem Aleph, wait a minute, Paro is dreams, Paro's disturbed, no one could interpret the dreams, and all of a sudden the Sar Mashkim says, wait a minute, I know there's a boy down there in prison, Nar Eved Ivri, he talks about him in a derogatory term, a lad, a Hebrew, a slave, but I forgot about him. I remember my sin. He asked me 2 years ago to remember him. I only remember him now. Because the Sar Mashkim remembered Yosef, Yosef is rushed out of the pit 2 years later, and overnight he goes from slave to prince, from prisoner to free man, from owned to owner of all, because of the Sar Mashkim. So when did the Geula Mitzrayim actually begin? With these arba kosos. Even though we couldn't see it, and even though Joseph himself still could not see it, what do these arba kosos teach you? Even when there's very great darkness, 2 years he had to wait. It's a long time. 11 years is a long time, and 2 years is a long time. And 6 months is a very, very, very long time. Even though Yosef could not see the geula yet unfolding, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's clockwork of running the whole world, the Haya Hove V'Yihya, the Geula for Yosef was already unfolding through the Arba Kosos of the Sar HaMashkim. And this gives us great hope because it means that our Geula is unfolding. Our Geula, the wheels of our redemption are turning, even though, of course, we daven it should be revealed. We daven we should see it immediately in our time. We daven we should understand that it should be Gilui Shechina. We see from here that even though Yosef could not yet see it, the wheels of Geula were beginning to turn. And that's why the Medrash says we drink Arba Kosos on Leil HaSeder, to remind ourselves that even though we cannot necessarily always see the Geula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, HaKadosh Baruch Hu plans, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always at work to ensure that the redemption will unfold. And 2 years before Yosef even was redeemed personally, hundreds of years before Klal Yisrael was redeemed, these four kosos were the catalyst to bring the redemption. Think about that this year. Take out your chumash. It's in Perek Mem. Take out your chumash and share it at the Seder table. And you pour the arba kosot of wine. This reminds us, and I'm going to quote a piece from Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav. It reminds us that when we least expect it, Geula is coming. Yosef surely thought, V'lo zachar son mashkim es Yosef, v'yishkecheyim. How does the Perek end? The Sar Mashkim did not remember Yosef, and he forgot him. Even when to the human mind, it seems as if chas v'shalom, it never happened. So Kosh Baruch Hu has forgotten.
That is never such a thing. Balailahu nedadashnas amalach. It is never true. Kosh Baruch Hu is not slumbering. He is not sleeping. The wheels of Geula are always turning, even when we can't see it, and even if we don't perceive it. And these Arba Kosos should be a very big chizat to us. I'm going to quote by Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav. He's talking about Geulas Mitzrayim. Yosef had to wait 13 years. The Jews in Egypt had to wait. They were there for a total of 210 years. According to one count, Seder Olam is quoted by Art School, Chumash of the Rashi, they were enslaved for 116 years. Another opinion is they were enslaved for 86 years. 86, 116, it's a huge amount of time. It is a tremendously long amount of time of Shibut, something that we cannot relate to. We have no capacity to even understand what that means. And like Joseph, perhaps at a certain time, do you think, and the people say, we have despaired of Yeshua. Rav Salavechik says, quote, genuine, he's commenting on Geula Mitzrayim, genuine Geula, genuine redemption, always comes unexpectedly, at a time when people are ready to give up hope. I'm going to repeat that sentence. Says the Rav, genuine Geula, genuine redemption, always comes suddenly, unexpectedly, at a time when people are ready to give up hope. Sometimes, historical situations keep deteriorating. I don't know if before October 7th, I'm almost spoken on Simchas Torah in Chutzlart. It was a lot of women here, and the shir that I wrote, I didn't present. I prepared a different shir. We spoke about the very shocking, tragic, horrific in Yanni Dioma. Remember, we thought it was 500 years. I don't know if before October 7th any of us could have possibly envisioned what the world would look like today. I mean, the whole world. I don't think we could have envisioned that the enemy would become the victim. The victim would become the devil in the eyes of the world. Hein am levadad yishkan ubagayim lo yitchashev. It's coming true in the most powerful sense before our very eyes. The Jew is not welcome today anywhere in the world. He is reviled and despised. Those who were murdered and butchered and raped and tortured are the aggressors. Can anyone understand this? Sometimes historical situations keep deteriorating. People pray and cry. They beg for mercy. But there's no answer to their prayer. There is silence. At that moment, when the crisis reaches its maximum and threatens the very existence of the community, we've seen over and over by politicians and the IDF and the prime minister, it's very clear that Israel is fighting a battle for her existence. She is fighting a battle for her survival. One of the first addresses to the nation after October 7th, Netanyahu said, this is our second war of independence. At that moment when the crisis reaches its maximum and threatens the very existence of the community, when people begin to give up, like how long am I going to be in jail? Why am I the only person in the history of the world who God hasn't spoken to? Cain was the first murderer. Hashem spoke to him. Adam was the first person. Okay, let's say God speaks to him. Cain's the first murderer. Hashem speaks to him. Noah, he's good. He's not so good. Depends on who you ask. If his generation, yes, maybe yes. But Hashem speaks to him. Paro, Avimelech. Okay, the Avos, Balaam's a Rasha. I know he didn't come alive yet, but Hashem speaks to him. He's seeing visions of angels and talking donkeys. Hashem doesn't speak to Yosef. Silence. He's in the caravan. He's in a pit, not in that order. Silence. He's in the house of Potiphar. He's in jail for 11 years. Silence. Historical situations keep deteriorating. People cry, they beg, they pray for mercy, but there's no answer to their prayer. There's silence. At that moment when the crisis reaches its maximum, says the Rav, and threatens the very existence of the community, when people begin to give up, the Geula suddenly comes and takes them out of the land of affliction. It comes in the middle of the night. It knocks on the door when nobody expects it, when everybody is skeptical about it, when everybody laughs off the possibility of redemption. I have to ask you, I said this in a shiur last week, I don't want to sound anti-Torah, that's not what I mean, but let's just think for a minute. do we really believe that Mashiach could come tomorrow morning? Like, you're going to wake up tomorrow morning. Not do you want Mashiach to come tomorrow morning. There's two different questions. Do you want Mashiach to come tomorrow morning? Do you want Mashiach to come right now? Do you believe, no, I mean, actually, that you're going to wake up tomorrow morning and turn on the news and everything you've been reading about Hezbollah is gone. Hamas is gone. The United Nations is gone. All those who despise us in the European Union are gone. All the Hamas pro-Palestinian protesters who are going from Teaneck to Woodmere and Toronto and all over the world are gone. All of a sudden, Mashiach is here. Do you actually, we don't have to answer, we don't have to raise our hands, do you mamish believe, not do you want it to happen, do you believe that you're going to wake up tomorrow morning and that's going to be the reality? I don't know. No, I think I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning. And after I get dressed and I daven, take care of what I need to take care of at home, I'm going to go to get my share of Flatbush. I'm speaking tomorrow morning in Brooklyn. Mike Tane Yamana. The crisis reaches its maximum. Historical situations keep deteriorating. The very existence of the community is threatened. Not that any of us think Kakosh Baruch is eternal, Am Yisrael is eternal, Torah Yisrael is eternal, and Eretz Yisrael is eternal. None of us are worried that any of those things are going to be damaged or destroyed. They can't be. It's impossible. Eretz Yisrael is eternal. Netzach Netzachim. Torah Yisrael is absolutely eternal. How many times did they try to destroy Torah? The Romans already, the Saru Gemalchus, the book burnings, the major Talmud burning in England, the Nazis. You can go and see in the Simon Wiesenthal Center in L.A., They made drum tambourine covers and shoe soles out of Sifrei Torah. They've tried over and over and over. Torah cannot be destroyed. Am Yisrael cannot be destroyed. So none of us are worried that that was going to happen. At what cost through the Golas? That we don't know. Will those things be destroyed? Never. But the historical situation is certainly deteriorating in the time in which we live. It just is. At that moment when the crisis reaches its maximum, it threatens the very existence of our community. When people begin to give up, the Geula comes suddenly. It knocks on the door. It takes them out of the land of affliction. It comes in the night when nobody expects it. When everybody is skeptical about it. When everybody laughs off the possibility of redemption. Why didn't Lot's sons-in-law leave Sodom? They laughed at him. They didn't believe that there could be a redemption. They didn't believe there would be destruction. They didn't believe there could be a redemption. And yet the Geula comes suddenly. Takes us out of the land of affliction and knocks on the door in the middle of the night when everybody has given up hope. When the situation historically is deteriorated to such a degree, that's when the Geula comes. And I'm relating it to the Arba Kosos and what the Medrash tells us. Because for Yosef, it was a pretty bad personal situation. He was still able to say to someone else, why are you, you know, smutna punim today? The real question is, why are you smiling today? Why am I smutna punim? Did you see where we are? We're in jail of the executioner of Egypt. Why are you smiling today? After a certain amount of time, maybe a person gives up, but not Yosef. Remember me to Pharaoh. He believed the Yeshua would come, and even though he could not see it, those Arba Kosos represented the Yeshua was beginning. It was coming, and it was a foreshadowing of the Arba Koso and the Arba Lashon Ke'ula that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would tell Moshe Rabbeinu. This is what happened in Egypt, says the Rav. And he quotes the Pasuk right before we meet Moshe Rabbeinu. Perek Beis, Pasuk Chaf Hei, the end of Perek Beis. Actually, this is 2:23. And it was in those great days, the king of Egypt died. This is Shemos 2:23. Shemos, Parak Beis, Psukim Chav Gimel through Chav Hei, are the bridge that take us from Shivan Mitzrayim to Gula Mitzrayim. Everything that happens before is enslavement, torture, infanticide, slave labor. Everything that happens after is the beginning of the Geula. Moshe Hayaroh is Son Yosrochosto. Parak Beis, Pesukim Chaf Gimel through Chaf Hei, that describe the children of Israel crying out to Hashem, is the bridge that takes us from Shibin Mitzrayim to Geula Mitzrayim. Our Salvation quotes these Pesukim. And he says, the Pesukim tells us, and it was in those days, Vayamas Melech Mitzrayim. Does anyone remember what Rashi says? What does it mean the king of Egypt died? If I'm not mistaken, we quote these. We do. We quote these in the Haseder, in the Haggadah. I got this in the car, but we quote these in the Haggadah. Rashi says, what does it mean that the king of Egypt died? Listen. Lo meis nitzdareya. Vahaya shochei tinoko Yisrael v'rocheitz b'damam. Rashi 2:23. No, he didn't die. He had Sara'as, and he would shecht Jewish babies and bathe in their blood. That's Rashi says. The king of Egypt died. He was shechting Jewish babies. That's what he was busy with. And the children of Israel groaned from their work. They called out, hysterical outcry. Their hysterical outcry rose to God from the work. My father-in-law pointed out something to me a number of years ago. I'm going to tell you something else that corresponds to the four kosot. I'm just going to turn in the pasuk so I could get you the complete pasukim. My father-in-law pointed out something very, very interesting to me. We're talking about the four kosot. The Arbal Shono Geula, the four cups of wine we drink at the Seder. The four kosot of Yosef that represent the Geula unfolding even when you don't see it. The historical situation is deteriorating. People give up hope. And then the Geula comes unexpectedly. Paro cuts off all of Decha and even Sarha Ophim. Oh my gosh, you're not going to believe it. There's a dream interpreter down there. It's 2 years after the dream. And yet Yosef never gave up on Geula. And Klal Yisrael never gives up on Geula because we know the wheels of Geula are always turning in Shemaim even when we can't see it. My father-in-law suggested to me a number of years ago, we read these psukim in Magid, in Pesach Seder. There's a lot of material here for, how do we prepare for Yom Tov? Learn Torah. So I just quoted this pasuk to you that the Rav quotes in the context of the people gave up. They groaned, they cried, their hysterical outcry went out to Shemaim. They didn't anticipate Geula would come, but it did come. And it was in those great days and the king of Egypt died. I already told you what Rashi says. Look at this. Vayanchu b'nei Yisrael min havodah. The children of Israel groaned from their work. Vayizaku za'aka. Za'aka is one of the forms of prayer. Hysterical outcry. Vatal sha'avasam elokim. Sha'ava is one of the 10 gates of prayer. Vayishva elokim es na'akasam. These psukim describe 4 types of prayer or cry of the b'nei Yisrael. Listen to them. Anacha, groaning. Za'aka, hysterical outcry. Sha'ava, also hysterical outcry. Na'aka, another type of groaning or moaning. These psukim tell us that when the crisis reached its maximum, and Paro is literally shechting Jewish babies, it's not a metaphor, it's not hyperbole. We have to look at our enemies to know that this is what they do. And the children of Israel are crying out in 4 stages, or 4 lashonos of tefillah. Listen again. Ya'anchu, za'aku, Sha'avasham na'akasham. 4 different lashonas of tefillah. Now listen to this gewaldic insight. Vayishma Elokim, Vayizkor Elokim, Vayar Elokim, Vayede Elokim. Just look at the psukim. It's Shemos 2:23-25. The psukim describe 4 types of groans or prayers of the children of Israel. And in response, 4 waking up. 4 terms, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu waking up and responding to their tefillah. Listen again. Vaya'anchu, vayiz'aku, sha'avasam, na'akasam. Vayishma Elokim, God heard. Vayizkar Elokim, God remembered. Vayar Elokim, God saw. Vayeda Elokim, God knew. The number 4 is very prominent in the Yom Tov of Pesach. There's a lot of number 4s. Arba Banim, Arba Kashos of the Manishtana, Arba Lashon Ha'Geula, Arba Kosot, Arba Imahot, the Arba Parashiot that lead us from Adar to Nisan, Shkalim, Zachar, Para, and Hachodesh. Actually, 4 names to the Chag. Zman Chereseinu, Chag Ha'Aviv, Chag HaPesach. What's the last? Chag HaMatzos. Arba, 4 names of the Chag. There's also, actually, I saw this brought down last year, 4 matzos. Now, I know there's 3 matzos, but because you break the middle matzos, if you have 4. 4 features very, very prominently in the Chag. Arba Kosos. Did I forget any? 4 parshios, Shkalim, Zachar, Parah, Chodesh, 4 names of the Chag. Arba Imahot, Arba Banim, Arba Kashos, 4 Kosos, 4 Lashon Geula, 4 matzos. If you think of any others, let me know. My father-in-law suggested that there are here, he suggested, but it's very clear, there are Arba Lashona Tefillah, and in response to the Arba Lashona, and remember, these psukim, says the Rav, are the bridge. Everything before is Hester Panim, says the Rav, and Golos Mitzrayim. Everything before is concealment of the divine face, and we're in a terrible exile. Everything after, says the Rav, is the beginning of Geula in this epoch, in this time period. That's why the first one after these tefillos is Moshe, because Moshe is the Redeemer. How do we transition from Golos and Shibud, from slavery and darkness and infanticide and slave labor and murder? How do we go to Moshe at the burning bush, who will be the Redeemer? Arba Lashonot Tefillah. And in response to the Arba Lashonot Tefillah, it evokes in a Kodesh Baruch Hu 4 degrees of waking up. And what are those 4 degrees of waking up? Vayishma Elokim es na'akosam, God heard. Vayizkor Elokim es brisos Avraham Yitzchak ves Yaakov, God remembered the covenant with the patriarchs. Vayar Elokim es b'nei Yisrael, God saw the children of Israel. Vayeda Elokim, and God knew. This is not a medrash, maybe it is, and I don't know, I shouldn't say. I haven't seen this in a medrash, but that doesn't mean anything, because the Yamakaya Torah is infinity. Maybe it's brought down somewhere. But perhaps we can propose, based on that idea from my father-in-law, that another reason we drink the Arba Kosot on Leil HaSeder is to correspond to this symbiotic relationship between the tefillos of the B'nai Yisrael and the waking up of the Kodesh Baruch Hu in response to those tefillos. Hine lo yonum velo yishan shomer Yisrael. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for us to cry, to beg, to beseech, to call out before Him. And we see clearly here that in response to our Arba Lashono Tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wakes up in 4 stages. Going back to the Rav. When the crisis reached its climax, someone's there? When the crisis reached its climax, and the Jewish people were on the verge of complete assimilation and disappearance, Moshe came. At the beginning, he was very far from successful. Apparently, the Jews were not convinced that the redemption was near. In fact, we know very clearly, Perek Vav Pasuk Tes, right after the Arba Lashonot Geula, what does it tell you? Velo Shamu al Moshe. Mikotzer Ruch al Mervod Akasha. Moshe comes and he says, listen, the Messiah is here. And you know what the people say? No, thank you. We're just going to be waking up in the morning and making bricks. They couldn't believe him. They couldn't listen. Lo shamo Moshe. They could not listen to Moshe. Mikot zaruach mevod akosha. 6-9. Shemosh. They couldn't even listen because of short spirit and backbreaking labor and shortness of wind. They had no capacity to even hear about the Gula. The crisis was at such a maximum. So when the Rav says he was far from successful, the Jews didn't believe in him in the beginning. And the work gets worse. I'm going a little out of order because now I'm going back to Perkei. When Paro says, you're lazy. Increase the quota of bricks and you're not getting straw. Does the Canaan come to Moshe? They say, why did it come here? It just got worse since you came. So in reality, the people couldn't even listen at the beginning. That's how steep they were in the travails of exile. They did not expect divine revelation that night. And the Rav says as follows. Indeed, listen carefully. This is the most important feature of Geula Mitzrayim. If you have to identify what is the most important feature of Geula Mitzrayim, is it the Shiras Hayam? Is it Ilu Hotsiyanu Mitzrayim Dayenu? Is it the Arba Kosot? Is it the Matzah Moror? Is it the Charoset? Is it the Karpas in salty water? The most important feature of Geula Mitzrayim is the suddenness of redemption. And the reason I chose to spoke about this, well, besides the fact that I love Torah, I just came from another shiur, I was talking about something totally different class. And then the class, I said to the ladies, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love Torah? But I think because it's such a chizuk for us in our times, because like Yosef, who is languishing in prison, nationally, we are in a dark, dark time. Like Paro, who is shechting Jewish babies and bathing in their blood. October 7th was an orgy of Jewish blood. Mamish, the worst massacre of Am Yisrael since the cursed days of the Shoah, which my 4 grandparents survived. Alei Masham. And sometimes in the world in which we live, when the historical stage keeps deteriorating and the crisis reaches its maximum, we need the reminder and the chizuk from the Torah that the wheels of Geula are always turning and Hashem is always listening, even when we can't see it. Sometimes it takes long and we don't understand the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Arba Kosot we drink on the Al Seder, says the Medrash, because of the Arba Kosur of Yosef. But the Gula didn't come the minute after he interpreted the dream of Sar Mashkin. We had to wait 2 more years. And Klal Yisrael had to wait hundreds of years after that. But that was the beginning of the redemption. And this piece by the Rav so aptly describes, in my mind, to me, the condition that we are facing and the condition that we are going through. Indeed, this is the most important feature of Gula Mitzrayim. The redemption from Egypt consisted not only of the fact that our ancestors went from slavery to freedom. They went from Sheba to Gula, from Afela to Ora. They did. But more importantly, the redemption and the revelation were a surprise to them. And the Rav says, this is the nature of Gula. Gula comes when people least expect it. When Yosef figured, he didn't know. The guy got out, the Sar Mashkim, and Yosef doesn't hear from him for 2 more years. All of a sudden, the Yeritzu also made a bar. They rush him out of the pit. They shave him. They change his clothing. And 5 seconds later, he's the viceroy. You think Yosef, the night before when he went to sleep, if you would have said, do you believe in the morning you're going to be the viceroy tomorrow 9 a.m.? What would he have said? Well, he's Yosef, so maybe. I don't know. But a normal person, what would they have said? No, I've been a slave for 13 years. I'm going to be a slave tomorrow morning also. He's rushed out of the pit. Why? Because of something happened 2 years ago. Arba Kosur. We can't see the Belaila Hu Nidada Shnas HaMelech. Kosh Baruch Hu is always awake, affecting redemption. The Rav says this is the most important aspect of the Gula Mitzrayim. Not only that we went free, which we did, but the way it happened. The crisis had reached the maximum. What did I tell you? The Rashi says, Hayashochei Tinoko Yisrael V'rocheitz B'damam. That's what they did on October 7th. Yimach Shmon V'zichron Mitachas HaShemayim. You're going to open the door, and that's what Hashem comes before. You're going to ask Kosh Baruch Hu to pour his wrath on the nations who do not know his name, who do not call out in his name, who slaughter Israel. That's what happened here. And yet, Vayizaku, Vayanchu, Sha'avasam Na'akosam, Vayishma, Vayizkar, Vayar, Vayida. I'm going to end with a story from the Rav. One of my favorite stories of the Rav, which is really a big oxymoron because they're all my favorite. But if they're one of my favorite. Rav Chaim of Elozhin was once asked, how will the Messiah come? And he replied, he died in the early 1800s. He's known as like the father of the modern day, what we call the yeshiva system, as we have it today, the Volozhin Yeshiva of Chaim Volozhin. God Olam. Rav tells us over verbatim. It's from a different sefer, it's the first piece of the Rav. Rav Chaim of Volozhin was once asked, how will the Messiah come? And he replied, let me tell you the following parable, and you will understand how the Messiah will come. On an ordinary, this just happened in our house, because sometimes I procrastinate sewing, okay? Like, I don't mean like making garments, like a hem or a button. So it could take a while from the time the person requests that I sew until I get around to sewing. So I think it was Erev Shabbos and there was no more time to sew. My husband said, were you able to sew the tear on the seam? So I told him this story. Here we go. Let me tell you the following. The answer was no, I haven't. So I think maybe I did, I don't remember. But I told this story just a couple weeks ago. Let me tell you the following. I sewed what needed to be sewed. Let me tell you the following parable and you will understand how the Messiah will come. On an ordinary weekday, says Rav Chaim of Elozhin, I come home from the yeshiva after morning prayers. My wife says, Chaim, are you ready to eat your breakfast? I answer, Relka, I have not finished preparing my lecture for the day. I cannot eat until I review the text I have to teach in the yeshiva. All right, Chaim, she says, let it be. While you are preparing your lecture, I will go to the market to buy a few things. In the meantime, I will leave the soup cooking on the fire. Please be careful, Chaim, that it should not burn. I know you. You forget everything once you get involved in your learning. My wife left for the market. I open up my volume and I start to study. Suddenly, I look out the window. I see the sun shining with a much greater brightness than ever before. What intensity! The birds in the garden are chirping a new tune, a stirring, enchanted melody. I hear a commotion in the street. I look out my window. I see Ellie, the shoemaker, running and dancing. Ellie, what's happening? Why is the sun so bright? What's the enchanting song of the birds? The trees are suddenly blooming. What's happening? Ali looks at me and says, Rabbi, don't you know the Messiah is here? Immediately, I run to my closet to get my Shabbos kapata to greet King Messiah. I take out the suit, and to my disappointment, the jacket is missing a button. Last Motzi Shabbos, it fell off. I asked my wife to mend it, and she said, Chaim, what's the rush? You don't need it till next Shabbos. Now I have to go forth to greet the Messiah. My jacket is missing a button. I'm not interrupting the Rav, because I just did, but I'm saying the story verbatim, how he tells it over. While I'm debating with myself whether to wear the defective Shabbos jacket or to go greet the Messiah with my weekday jacket, my wife comes running home. Gevalt, Chaim, where are you? You burned the soup. At that moment, I say, you foolish woman. We're going to greet the Messiah, and you're worried about the soup? Go and get dressed in your finest Shabbos clothing and come with me to greet the king. Comments the Rav, this story which I heard from my father, Rav Moshe, who is the son of Rav Chaim Brisker, who is the son of the Beis Halevi, summarizes the whole saga of redemption of the Jewish people. A Jew waits endlessly for redemption, and then it comes suddenly and unexpectedly. And it's so unexpected that at that moment, he discovers the button is missing from the suit he wanted to wear to go greet the king. Four plays a very prominent role in Pesach and in Leil HaSeder. We have Arba Lashono Geula, like we saw. That famously, we have Arba Koso that correspond to Arba Lashono Geula. But we have seen, based on the Medrash, that in reality there are Arba Koso that occur far, far before, long, long before the Arba Lashono Geula, when Yosef could not even see the redemption unfolding, when the crisis reached its maximum. Those four Koso foreshadow the Geula. That it will come. We explore the piece of the Rav, where the Rav says the most important feature of Geulat Mitzrayim is not only that it happened, but that it happened suddenly, unexpectedly. We looked at the passage that represents the bridge, says the Rav, from Hester Panim and Shibur to Gilui Shechina and Revelation. And in that passage, my father-in-law suggested so powerfully that our four Lashonot Tefillah, which correspond to Arba Lashonot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu waking up. I think that this whole shiur really is a very strong comment for us in our time, because we too are in a time when the crisis seems to be reaching its maximum, when the historical situation is deteriorating, people begin to give up hope. And we have to ask ourselves, what do I believe I'm going to be doing tomorrow morning? Not what do you want to be doing tomorrow morning? Not being Eretz Yisrael, but what do you believe you're going to be doing? Even when we can't see it, the wheels of Geula and Shemayim are always turning. As a Hashem, we should be zeuchet to see B'shuv Hashem Hashiva Tzion Hayinu Kecholmim. Yosef was a dreamer. We should keep dreaming. B'shuv Hashem Hashiva Tzion, when God returns our captivity back to Tzion Hayinu Kecholmim. Hine bala cholam ha-sazaba. Yosef is the beginning of the Ula. Azimal eschok pinu kol amar b'lesapa ha-reza meshubach. Ulishoneinu rina lahodusu lahalal lefar leromim lemisha asanisim lavaseinu velanu hotzi enu mishiva de geula meyafela leora venomer lefanav shira chadash haleluka higla Hashem lasosi meila higla Hashem lasosi manu hayinu semeichim hazorim bedima berina yiktzar. I thank you for inviting me. I thank you all for attending. I wish everybody b'ezrat Hashem a chag kasher v'sameach and a wonderful chodesh tov. Thank you to all.